Hi. So hi, Abby, and hi, Sebastian. Thanks for being with us today.
Hi, Kathy. Nice to see you.
So Sebastian is here visiting from Chile, from Santiago, Chile, and it's really great to have you here. Thanks for joining us for this interview. And I know that you're going to be coming here a lot more in the next couple of years because of this wonderful NSF grant that Abby was able to get through RPI and with the involvement of the Sanctuary for Independent Media and Nature Lab. So to back up, maybe Sebastian, you can talk a little bit about your research in Chile and how you led that led you to coming up here to Troy to work with us.
Yeah, for the last 2 years, I've been developing a participatory tool, a participatory kit for people to engage into matters of soil pollution in Chile. Soil pollution is a very serious problem down there because of the issue of, especially of mining waste and the lack of any regulations. So what we have been developing with a group of a very transdisciplinary group, we have been developing a very cheap and easy to use kit for communities to engage with matters of soil pollution.
That's fantastic. And I think that this is one of the things that's so exciting about this project is to get the citizen science aspect of it going. And I know that both of you are really committed to that. Abby, your background involves a lot of this. And maybe you can talk a little bit about how you came to that topic and also how the two of you met.
Oh, sure. So I'm a sociologist, and I have for a long time been studying citizen science projects and particularly how people involved in social movements use citizen science or participatory environmental monitoring to try to make change in their communities and to address environmental problems. But I met Sebastian at a workshop about interdisciplinary social science research looking at issues around the underground, so looking at mining and aquifers and other issues about the subterranean parts of the earth. And I learned about his research and the challenges that communities in Chile were facing. And he brought up to me the question, well, do you think there's a place for citizen science in addressing some of these challenges? So we got to talking, and that led to eventually to this collaboration that we have now.
So let's back up again and ask you, Sebastian, to talk about the mining situation in Chile. Like, what are you doing? What have you been able to do in the last few years? And sort of what compelled you to get involved in this area? It seems like maybe there weren't a lot of people who were interested in this, except yourself and your team and et cetera. So.
Yeah, the situation in Chile is that even though the mine waste and mine pollution situation has become like much more relevant in the last few years, there's still like a very, very important lack of any regulation or remediation about mine pollution issues. And for the last like 5 years, I've been following the implementations of the first proper regulations that they were set up to start dealing with this problem. But the problem with this regulation, it's twofold in the one hand. But in the one hand, it's the issue that all the regulation is based on the application of very expensive scientific research on the one hand, and on the other hand, it's that it's very everything it's top down and without any kind of involvement of the population. So the situation that we that this first research project found is what the issue that at the very end, no one cares about the issue because on the one hand, there's no money to implement any proper remuneration, and on the other hand, there's no communities who are really involved in the issue. So this is more or less the first motivation for the project.
And so you started working with these communities, and what have you been able to do?
Yes. So far, what we have achieved, it's trying to sketch first, and then to firstly design a first like sort of version of the kit in which communities of on northern Chile, especially on the Copiapó area of Chile, that it's an area that has heavy mining, but still has an important part of local small scale agriculture. It's the testing of the kit has allowed the communities to start for the first time, I would say, to on the one hand to get some scientific information, some scientific data about the state of their soils, and on the other hand, and probably the most important thing, to start understanding what it is on the soil, how can they can act over it, if there's any problem, what they should do. So that is probably the most important part of our project, not only to produce data, but to produce a citizenry, you could say, that can understand, that can engage with scientific data in different ways.
Mm. Yeah, I was surprised that there haven't been these kinds of low-cost DIY kits for soil testing around or developed yet or available to a public. And so this is the case in Chile for sure, but it's also the case here in the U.S.?
Yeah, there are some commercially available lead testing kits, but they're often focused on water, not on soil. And they tend not to be very accurate for getting good results about lead contamination in soil. Or other contaminants. So part of what we're going to be doing with this grant is to develop better do-it-yourself methods for testing for heavy metals in soil. Of course, most people can take samples of soil and send them to be tested in a laboratory at fairly low cost. So anyone listening could take your soil samples to the a cooperative extension office if you're interested in finding out about the quality of your soil or contaminants in your soil. But we're hoping that by the end of our project, we'll have some tools available for people to be able to at least screen their soil for some levels of contaminants and find out if there's a need for further testing. So one of the things that we're really trying to do and what we're excited about with this project is not only further developing the work that Sebastian has been doing in Chile, but bringing a lot of the lessons that he's learned and the tools for soil testing that he's developed, and he and his team have developed, and bringing them to Troy. And we're going to start developing some of these projects right here at the Sanctuary for Independent Media and working with some of my colleagues at RPI. Over the next couple of years, we hope to see some of these practices put into place here in our community, in our neighborhoods.
That'll be fantastic. Now, I'm curious why there hasn't been more research done with soil, you know, and contaminated soil. It seems like, I remember from speaking with both of you earlier, you said that there were a lot of papers that have been published around water pollution and air pollution, but not so much around soil. What is the deal there?
I think that one of the, a way to put it, is to say that soils lack certain kind of charisma, you could say, that soil pollution, it's not as visible, it's not as fast, it's not as evident as was water and air pollution, that you can smell it, you can see it, you can notice the change. Generally, soil pollution is something that is very slow, that is very underground most of the time, that it's so difficult to engage in a sensorial way with it. So this is why it has so far escaped a lot of the attention that other kinds of pollution has received, both from conventional science and also, and especially relevant to us, from citizen science movement, from also from open hardware technology movements and all these movements that they have been trying to sort of to bring science to the hands of the people, for the people to engage with their own environmental issues.
Do you want to add any opinions on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that soil is, you know, we don't consume it directly in the same way, you know, we drink water directly, we breathe air into our lungs, and we tend not then to think about soil as a pathway for exposure to heavy metals. But if you're a gardener, if you're a kid who plays outside, you're interacting with soil and you're potentially bringing soil into your house. And if soil is contaminated with heavy metals, then you're potentially bringing heavy metals into your home, which could then dry and become dust. And we need to think carefully about the ways that we might be exposed to things that are not good for our bodies. So I think that it's important that as part of this project, we develop a better understanding of our relationship with soil, how we interact with it, and become more conscious of it, both in really positive ways, all the really positive things that soil provides for us, but also some of the ways that we need to be more careful with it.
That's fantastic. Thank you both for speaking with us, and we look forward to hearing more about the project.
Thanks a lot.